Welcome to Studio Within Podcast. I'm Sarah. I'm the founder of WithSara Wellbeing Platform and a professional model. After a decade-long career working with incredible designers and clients in the fashion world's capitals, I turned into a passionate positive psychology practitioner. My experience has made it clear that happiness does not come from fame, money, and thousands of followers on Instagram. It comes from within. In this podcast, we will talk about what it means to be authentic. We'll share success moments and setback stories. We'll also discover how positive psychology tools can help you thrive. I'll share some practical steps so that you can put the science of well-being into action in your life. Sometimes it's just me chatting with you like this, and at times I'll bring in guests who really inspire me, both from the worlds of high fashion and positive psychology. I hope that my show will leave you energized and inspired to own your own story, create the life you want to live, and have some fun while creating it. Let's get thriving, shall we? Welcome back to Exploring What Coaching Really Is All About. I am so excited you're back here. Last episode, we had a look at what coaching is and why is it helpful and who is it for from a really more theoretical perspective. So for today's episode, I'm gonna share with you something different. I want to offer you a closer look at what coaching is from a more practical point of view. And for this purpose, I have invited my dear friend Samantha and also a fellow coach to discuss coaching in practice with me. We will discuss what has made her want to become a coach, why do people come to coaching for her, and then we will also give you a coaching sample. Oh yes, I'm so looking forward to do this. Sam will be giving me a mini coaching session, literally about 5 minutes, and also a mini mentoring session. So you get to really hear the difference between these two. I really wanted to do this long time because I think it's really hard to, when you're looking for a coach or you don't know what coaching really is, it's really hard to find samples. It's really hard to find out, like, what is it actually? Like, what is coaching? And I've often encountered with my clients that some people really think it is about giving advice or telling them exactly what to do or giving them kind of a checklist. And no wonder, because there's no strict definition of what coaching is. So we are coming from the same school of thought, what comes to coaching with Samantha. We have both done a training at the Coactive Training Institute. Coactive Training Institute. Sorry, my voice is still breaking down a bit because of last week's COVID episode. Anyhow, so we are coming from the same school. So the way we coach is very similar because we have the same tools and the same framework, and we believe in that model, the coactive model. So I just wanted to get that out of the plate so that you understand that there's many different schools for thought what comes to coaching, and Sam and I come from the same coaching school. So perhaps one day I will make an episode or two with coaches from different schools. So also you get to witness if there are and will be some differences. So before we hop on to this conversation, which is, by the way, amazing, amazingly empowering, here is a little bit about Sam. Samantha Chesler studied law and art history at UCL, followed by a Bachelor of Education at McGill University. She is a CTI-certified coach, a stride and disc-trained mentor, and has worked in education as a head of department, teacher, coach, and mentor in many international schools. She has training in emotion coaching with the Gottman Institute and in positive intelligence. She's also a photographer and an award-winning blogger, mother of two daughters, and has lived and worked in 12 countries. I've attached her website on the show notes, so make sure to have a look at her beautiful photography and all of the things that she does through her website. Okay, so that was Samantha's bio. That's what she sent me. But let me tell you really who Samantha is, because I have the privilege of knowing her as a friend. So you get a really better idea about her. So I met Samantha through the same coaching training, like I mentioned, and we did this together during the pandemic, which was just like, you know, the first year of pandemic, which was a really roller coaster time for all of us.
And in this conversation, we are going to share the unique way we met for the first time during the training one-on-one. I can't wait for you to hear that because that was really a very unique experience. Samantha is such a fierce coach and a super loving friend. Samantha is at the same time my wise friend, my teacher, and my champion. She's not afraid to go deep and ask you challenging questions. She is so curious about you and the world that she lives in. She has an eye for excellence and beauty. She will challenge you the first conversation with such deep, fierce love that you've never imagined. So, without a doubt, she loves a good conversation. But not only does she love a good conversation, but she particularly likes a good conversation paired with a glass or two of champagne. So she is totally my type of girl. And I'm so excited we finally had the chance to make this episode happen because she is exactly what Studio Within podcast represents. Love, lightness, authenticity, and fully committing yourself to the why that you are in this world. So here is my conversation with Samantha. Samantha, what a special moment it is to welcome you to Studio Within podcast. My warmest welcome.
I'm so happy to be here, Sarah.
It's so funny when I'm looking at you, and we were meant to do this, recording live when we would actually be sitting next to each other, but COVID came to me and I'm recovering.
Stupid COVID.
I know I'm recovering, all good, but yeah. It's very interesting that we are here now because this is how we met. This is how we actually met, like me looking at your...
For months.
Right. Yeah. Do you want to share our first experience one-on-one?
So in the coaching training, you have to have five different modules. And we met on the second and we went all the way through to the fifth. And it was all online. And one of the special activities that we did was you didn't know who you were going to get. You get put into breakout rooms. And I knew that the person I was going to meet, I was going to have to sit in silence and stare at their eyes for 5 minutes. Was it 5 or 6 minutes?
So, yeah.
It was a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And you came on the screen and I was like, yes, I'm so happy it's her. And we smiled at each other and we just stared and we didn't have any words. And then we both had tears on our cheeks. And I honestly felt in that moment that I loved you and that I saw you. And it was so special. And then when we finally met in real life, it was like we just hugged each other like we'd known each other forever. And I've had very few of those moments in real life with a person. So it's very special.
I know. Thank you for bringing us back to that. And I have to say, I instantly felt that there's some unique connection here. It's so interesting that what that space and that time and that stillness and that moment just, I don't know, it was very empowering in a way as well and full of connection. And I think in a moment or in time where we live, there's not much time when we just sit still and look at someone for 5 minutes. It's actually quite long. and it didn't feel awkward, right?
It was also during lockdown.
Yeah.
And so the only connection that we had with people was through a screen. Mm-hmm. And it was quite comforting to know that you could connect and coach and learn just by looking in someone's eyes through a screen. I didn't know that would ever be possible.
I know. What a beautiful journey. And here we are and you are visiting for the first time Studio Within podcast. And we're going to have a good conversation about the practice of coaching. And you might hear some interesting coaching example and practice live. So we're looking forward to show that to you. But I want to start somewhere else. Before I hopped on here, obviously I know your website pretty well, but I went through it and you had some beautiful quotes all over your website, and there was one that really made me pause, and I wanted to say out that quote and kind of, tell me why that quote is there and why that's important to you. So it's the quote by Mark Twain, who says, "The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why."
And, you know, it gives me goosebumps hearing you say it out loud. It's such an important quote. I think so many people go through life blind to why they're going through life. You know, it's like Simon Sinek said, it's so important to know your why. And when I read that quote, it just resonated with me. And I thought, I'm going to put that right on the front of my website, because for me, that's what coaching is all about. And everybody's why is different. But if you live with knowledge of that purpose and you move in the direction towards your why, your life will just be so much more fulfilled, so much clearer. And the impact that you will have for those around you will be genuine. Because you're speaking and behaving and interacting from a place that's who you really are, not who you're pretending to be, nothing to do with the mask that you're wearing, nothing to do with, you know, a performance. It's not a performance.
Since when have you been discovering your why?
Actually, I was thinking about this today, because when I went on to the first coaching course, and I didn't really know what coaching was, but I'd had a coach and I was intrigued to try it. And then I realized I've always been this person. I just hadn't put the dots together. When I was at university, I wanted to become an art therapist, but I wasn't going to be accepted because you needed to have your own art practice. So I went to university to study English and drama in education. And one of the reasons that I did that was because I wanted to become a drama therapist. And then life took me to different places and I ended up not doing my training, but it always stayed in my mind that I was always interested in either therapy or in some sort of healing profession or some sort of profession that would help people realize their potential. And for a long time for me, that's been teaching. And then when I discovered coaching, it just fit. And I knew this is the space that I want to inhabit. This is where I want to be.
So such a beautiful thing to, yeah. I mean, I love hearing always your teaching moments and moments in classroom, because I do think, obviously, coming from Finland also, where, you know, our education system is just high, top. I've had such a tremendous appreciation for teachers and the job that you do. So that's so beautiful. One thing also, which I know because we are good friends, is that teaching has brought you all over the world. I mean, you've been teaching in quite incredible places. If you want to just name, I don't know, like one, two places that has left a big impact on you.
So I started in Montreal, even though I'm originally British. I was raised as an expat third culture kid. But my husband's from Montreal, and that's where I started teaching. That's where I got my Bachelor of Education. And then we went to Trinidad, and I loved teaching in Trinidad because the culture has so much joy in it. Mm. There was so much freedom. I didn't feel sort of tied in knots. You know, I was able to develop my own curriculum. And then I moved to Uganda. And Uganda was an education, not just by the school, from the school I was working in, but the environment that we were all learning and teaching in really added to the experience. And then I moved to Bahrain, which was my least favorite place, although there were always gifts from everywhere I've lived. I taught incredible open-minded students, and it helped to demystify a lot of the biases that I had about living in the Middle East. And then I lived in Brunei, and for much longer than I ever thought that I would. I lived there for 5 years and I was head of department there, and I worked in a wonderful school, and both my children graduated from that school. And now I'm in Singapore, and every school is different, but also every school is similar because all students around the world, whatever culture they come from, they're teenagers of similar and they have the same frustrations. So I feel like I've picked up little gifts from everywhere that I've taught. But I would say all in all, I've learned that because I've worked in so many different systems and so many different cultures, it's really important to focus on the individual student and what they need, and not to look at students like they are in a machine. And the thing that I'm becoming frustrated with education is because I feel like it's a little bit more like a factory sometimes, that we take students in and we churn them and then we pop them out the other end. And so really being mindful of each individual student and what they require, and seeing them as people, looking into their eyes, asking them questions And coaching's really informed the way I teach now. That's what I've learned from all these different places. Sorry, that was a long-winded answer, but
no, I love it. And I can't just help but thinking what a gift it is to travel around the world as well. Like, I don't know, I connect so much with you, you know, regardless, we've been in many like different places with you, but I just feel that there's no richer experience than going abroad and seeing these new cultures, because yeah, like you said, so many gifts.
It's the best education. And I always say to my students, even if you go to university where you come from, try and do a semester abroad. Nothing opens your mind like the perspective of a different place.
Mm.
Nothing.
What have you found the hardest about being abroad and living this type of lifestyle where you hop on from places to places?
Too many goodbyes.
Yeah.
I have said more goodbyes in my life than most people do ever. Too many goodbyes. You get really close to people very, very quickly. And then they leave or you leave. And and you, at the same time, you're maintaining your friendship from your home country. And so you sort of feel like you're split. And leaving Trinidad was so hard that I felt like every place after that, I tried to sort of close my heart a little bit so I would protect myself. It's not possible for me because my heart is very open, but it's the saying goodbye.
Yeah.
More than the arriving.
Yeah. How do you recover from that? Like, what is something like that has helped you recover?
I think when I first went abroad, I remember I left Montreal in 2007 and Facebook was just invented. So that really helped that I could still stay in touch with people and communicate with people. But I think it's staying really, really close to the people that you meet, the new friends. I would sometimes arrive in a place and I would say, that's it, I'm done. I don't want to make any new friends. I'm full up. But being open to meet, like you, being open to meeting new people and connecting with people, not staying close, staying open to that's really important.
Mm, that's so beautiful. Something that I love about you, have always loved as a, you know, obviously I know you through coaching and we went through the same coaching training, but as a friend then afterwards, and I know that you've declared it yourself, is that you just want to go deep. It's like your friendships are based on deep, powerful conversations. And there's just no room for this chitty chat. Like, let's just go deep. Let's open our hearts and let's talk. And I found that really, at least looking back my own travels and that schedule, also that depth that I've built with people, it's hard to say goodbye to that ever in a way.
Yeah.
Don't you feel?
It really is.
Yeah.
And I think when you live away from home, your friends become your family.
Mm, yeah.
And so it's such a wrench when they're taken away from you. But yes, I do go deep because I don't believe in shallow connections.
Yeah, I know.
I just don't. So, you know, everyone knows that that's, you know, I met someone recently and she was new. I hadn't met her before. And after the conversation, she said, wow, you asked some private questions. And I said, you don't have to answer them. But yes, I do, because I'm really curious. I'm really curious. And I love hearing people's stories. When I first meet people, I want to know their stories. Mm. Who are you? Where'd you come from? Why are you here?
Yeah, that is, it's so, I love this because you, as the listeners today might hear some like really powerful questions here because I don't know. It's so interesting to be around coaches because the questions just are so powerful. And I really, you know, appreciate them as well. Like, why are you here? Is such a huge question, actually. And it can feel intimidating. Definitely. I don't, say that it's easy to answer that, but it's so interesting to explore those questions. And that's why probably coaching is so incredible. Let's start from there. If we're talking about coaching, how would you define coaching in your own words with the experience that you have so far?
I'm going to start with what it's not. And I'm going to tell a story about when I first went to my very first coaching session, coach training, and someone had to stand up and share a situation. And everyone was like asking all these questions. And I raised my hand and I said, but if you know the answer and you can help them, why don't you just give them advice? I was so naive. So that is what coaching is not. Coaching is about asking questions and mirroring in the safe space between the coach and the client, mirroring those, the answers to those questions in order for the client to be able to come to the answers by themselves. And if you come to the answers by yourself, you have a light bulb moment. And in that realization, change can happen. We have a lot of patterns in our life, and coaching helps you recognize those patterns, notice the story that you've been telling, and question whether or not that story is valid or true. I've learned through coaching that we all have a very powerful inner critic. We can never get rid of that inner critic, but we can turn the volume down and raise the volume on your inner leader or your inner sage, whatever you want to call it. And from the time, if you look at a four-year-old child or a five-year-old child, they have no inner critic. They are just themselves. And something happens as we grow up. And I notice it because it happens to students around the age of 12. They suddenly get self-conscious. They suddenly worry, how am I being perceived by others? Am I good enough? Do I fit in? And if I have one main point, one main purpose in my coaching, it's to help everybody see that they are not dictated or ruled by that inner critic, that they have a choice. And they can dig deep, discover what makes them unique, learn it, speak it out loud, celebrate it, and hopefully elevate that voice and turn the volume down on the critic, because so much more is available to you in life if you operate from the point of view of abundance and not scarcity. The inner critic tells you you're not good enough, tells you don't do that, you might trip, you might make a mistake. What are people going to think of you? Are you crazy? But your inner sage tells you, who said? Is that true? Maybe not. Why don't we try?
That's so incredible, obviously. But I'm gonna change. Actually, I just realized that because obviously I personally agree with everything you say, but I'm gonna play the critical journalist right now, who is probably not ever experienced coaching. So what you're saying about the inner critic and the way it works, would you say that it works for everybody? That kind of coaching, does coaching work for everybody?
That's a really good question, because in coactive coaching, the main principle is that in order for me to coach someone, I have to believe that they're naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. I have to be able to see that in everyone. And if I can't see it, then I can't coach them. And there are certain leaders in the world, without mentioning any names or getting political, and somebody said, well, could you coach someone who's like a bad leader or a bad person? Or someone who is racist, or someone who speaks really badly about people. And I wrestle with that, because I have to be honest, I don't know if I could. Some people might. I think that not everyone could be coached, because in order to be coached, you have to be open to the possibility. If you walk through life saying, I've got all the answers, I'm perfect, and no one can teach me anything, and I don't need to grow because I've arrived and everything's fantastic, that's great. Carry on like that. But you will not, you have to have a sense of being open to magic and possibility and discovery. And if you're not, then I don't think coaching is for you.
That's so important what you say. And I think I would add on to that, that in order for a client to come into a coaching, they need to be willing to see that they are imperfect.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Like we make mistakes. I make mistakes. I'm not perfect, and therefore I'm vulnerable, right? Like,
yeah.
I need to be able to face that reality in a way in order to then process that and grow. Would you agree on that?
Absolutely. And coaching is the space where you trust and feel safe to be vulnerable. Susan David said that change only comes from a place of discomfort. Coaching is not necessarily comfortable. If you accept that you're imperfect and you're going to face that, you're going to be uncomfortable for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
I think one of the quotes that I also have on my website is something about how the caterpillar turns into the butterfly. You know, there is goo that has to happen in coaching. And also the other thing that's interesting is the magic can actually happen between coaching sessions, because it's all working and ticking along. But yes, you have to be able to accept that I'm not perfect, but ultimately what you want to get out of coaching is, but I'm good enough and I accept myself.
Mm. In with the clients that you've had, what are like, can you share us, like, if someone's not thinking like, oh, that sounds amazing, like, yeah, I agree, like, that's what I want, but why would someone call a coach like, hey, I need coaching because I want to be the butterfly? Like, I don't think that that's where it happens. So what kind of problems have you faced that clients come to you when they need coaching?
Sometimes there are no problems. People are offered coaching and they say, sure, why not? Let's try it. I want to figure out what else is out there. Sometimes people come because I'm really miserable in my job. And I need to figure out a way to either be comfortable with this job because I don't think I can afford to quit it, or to be able to start exploring other options. And I'm stuck. Someone else might come to coaching because they are a leader and they work in a company or in a school that says leaders should be coached, because then once you realize who you are, you're going to be a better leader. You're going to be aware of the impact you have on other people. So it's not necessarily because you're fixing something, it's because your awareness of yourself as a leader and your potential can grow. But I've coached architects and teachers, and I've coached people who work for the United Nations and all different people. And people often say, oh, but you really need to have a niche. And what I love about you is you do have a niche. But even with a niche, you could coach anyone.
Mm, true.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
What's also important is that people need to realize about coaching is it's the difference between coaching and therapy. And I always say therapy, we look back and we figure out what happened and we try and heal trauma. And there is a place for therapy. Coaching looks forward. We might be interested in what happened in the past, but we don't go there. We go forward. Where do you want to be? What do you vision? What are your values? How are you going to walk through life so that the inside matches the outside, so that you are authentically living with your values? We don't heal, we don't fix, and we don't go back in time to figure out where the trauma was. So sometimes people need to know that it's about moving to a place.
Mm, that is so, so important that you said that, and thank you for bringing that, because it's true. We don't coach trauma. No, this work. If ever a coach would start doing that, that's just not right. Like, you know, it depends, but in the general terms that how ICF is defining, International Coaching Federation is defining coaching and therapy, they're very different. And it's important to be aware of that. Like you said, there's a time and place for everything. But I think I remember first time when, you know, I was thinking of myself as a client back then when I didn't really know what coaching or life coaching or, but there's so many ways to describe coaching. There's performance coaching, life coaching, but they're all ingrained into the same idea that it's a thought-provoking process that enables you to fulfill your potential. That's probably something from what the ICF website would say. So all is ingrained in this similar idea that you want the best out of yourself, right? And I remember when I was like, I just felt like empty, maybe like I didn't know what my direction was. Like everything was good. I was happy, but I just did not know what to do next. And I needed some clarity. So what I've discovered now, then later on, this is like almost 10 years ago now, that time coaching wasn't a big thing yet, even it was just starting. And looking back now, I realized that one of the most important things that all of the clients that I've had, they want clarity, and the clarity keeps coming up all the time after the initial kind of start. Have you faced something similar or experienced something similar?
It's amazing that you use the word clarity, because I really believe that the answers are already inside the person, and clarity is when they become clear. And sometimes they're like, oh, it's amazing what I've learned in coaching. And I'm like, that is not me. That is you. It's what you've learned in coaching. The coaching space may have provided that. The questions I ask might have provided that. But it's the client who gets their own clarity.
It's so powerful. But yeah, oh, love that. I wanted to ask you next, like, okay, so what is then, what can someone then experience in a coaching session? But I think we're going to show it. So are you ready for this, Sam? I think this is like the first time we're doing, I know I did something like this before, but so we're going to do a little role play with the real topic. So I'm going to be the client and Sam is going to be my coach. And what we want to show here is the difference between mentoring slash consulting type of thing versus coaching. So we're going to show the difference and we're going to start by the usual mentoring advice route. And then we're going to show you coaching and you get to witness the experience of both. And then we're going to clarify like what's going on and kind of talk about this experience afterwards. Is there something else to add?
No, that's it. Let's do it. It's fantastic.
Okay. So boom, here comes a little sample of mentoring.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for coming today. What can I help you with? What's the issue?
I was thinking for a while, like what is really bugging me at the moment is that I really struggle with writing my coaching bio. I kind of want to refresh it. Then I just don't know where to start. And I feel stuck with it. I don't know where to go.
Well, do you know who your clients are?
Yes, I do have a sense of what the clients are, you know.
Okay. And do you know what you want to tell them? Do you know what you just don't know how to write the bio or you don't know what you want to say? Like, what's the area that you need mentoring in?
I guess how to get started. I feel a bit demotivated at the moment. Like, I don't know how to start, I guess. I have something, I have some words. Like, how do I shape the words? And
yeah. So I would take a nice piece of A3 paper or A4 paper, and I would write a few words in circles. Okay. So maybe one of your words is power, for example, or maybe one of your words is impact. And then you can take a line from that, and then you can go and write other words that are like power and impact. And suddenly you're going to have a page with all of these different words. Then you take a highlighter pen and you go and highlight the words that really resonate and speak with you. Okay. After you've done that, you should take another piece of paper and write down a really clear opening sentence. Your opening sentence has to say who you are. Okay. So it could say, I would say that you should say something like, I am Sarah. And as your coach, I will. And then maybe, and look at some of those words that you've used. And then what you need to do then is in the middle of your bio, you need to have some of your experience. So you need to now turn the original piece of paper over and write down the most important things you think people should know. So it could be your training. It could be the dates, how long you've been coaching for. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have to get the facts. Mm-hmm. So then you go back to your piece of paper and you go and you second after you've got your main topic sentence, then you're going to have all of your facts and you're going to write those down. Mm-hmm. Then go back and look at that piece of paper. Which of those words would be really impactful as a final sentence in your bio?
Okay, I get it. Words and facts.
Absolutely. Words and facts. And I think if you write it on a computer, you're also going to get a word count. And that's really important to have the right word count. Like the optimum bio is about 150 words, right? So you want to make sure that you have that. And then you can start deleting words or you can try and make sure that you've got the right words. But then you'll have a really good bio.
Thank you. Thank you. This was very helpful. I'm going to go and try on your advice. Thank you so much.
I'm curious, did the advice, do you know what to do with that advice now? Like, have I given you enough points and tips?
I will try. I will try. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Words and facts. Here we go.
Okay.
Okay. Pause. And then we're going to change the game and we're going to go for a sample of coaching. Here we go.
Hi, Sarah. How can I help you today?
I'm just struggling with this coaching bio. Like I feel so stuck in writing, like refreshing my coaching bio. I have a clear idea now, but I just don't know where to start. I feel almost like demotivated, a bit uninspired. So I just feel a bit flat.
Well, why don't you start by telling me why you want to be a coach?
I want to be a coach because I want to help people unlock their full potential, feel alive in their lives, you know?
And I take you back briefly to a moment when you were coaching and you had that experience of making someone feel alive.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know that you were doing that?
How did I know that I was doing coaching or helping them? Well, their clients clearly were having moments of awakening almost. I could see that they were starting to work on their, you know, on their the projects that they wanted and what they were going through.
And who were you being in that moment?
I was probably being truly honest with myself, you know, like doing what I actually wanted to do.
Tell me more about that, being honest with yourself.
Like, it felt really authentic somehow. It felt like I was, you know, it almost felt like I was standing on this rock that was like super solid and I knew exactly where to step next.
Mm. And did you feel that somewhere in your body?
Like around my stomach, probably, you know, like really this kind of, yeah, I know where to go. Like I know where that next rock is where I have to step on.
Yeah. And while you were contemplating stepping onto that rock, that feeling, can you actually put your hands on your stomach where you felt it? Can you describe that feeling a little bit more?
It's almost like when I actually put my hands on my stomach, I'm literally feeling the growing sensation. It's almost like, you know, like I'm holding myself up. It's a good feeling.
Does that feeling have a vibration or a color or anything?
Funnily, just this green came to me, like, you know, this moss green that I, you know, moss green.
When you think about moss green, why does that resonate with you? What does that signify?
Definitely growth. It's also the color of my platform. And aliveness, life, it's life.
Mm-hmm. I'm really hearing, as I'm looking at your face and you're smiling as you're saying this, and I feel a sense of power coming from you, power and aliveness. What values do you step into when you're coaching?
Well, definitely authenticity. That's who I'm being. Love.
Mm-hmm.
And then growth.
And if we take it back to the topic that you brought today, which is about the inability to write your bio, where would you like to start writing it from?
From the rock. I probably need to go and like outside to actually get started, because right now I feel so uninspired in this COVID hole. So I need to go outside to get some inspiration.
And that feeling in your stomach, what would it look like if you wrote from that place?
Effortless.
That's interesting. Effortless. And what impact will you have when people read this bio? What do you want people to know and feel?
Probably that, okay, this coach can make me feel seen and heard, because that's the space I need.
So if you write from that place of power, it's effortless. And when they receive it, they know that you are creating a safe space for them where they can grow.
Mm. Yeah.
So how will you now, you said you're going to go outside. What other steps would you take to start writing this bio?
Oh, definitely. I need tomorrow, my self-isolation finishes. So I'm going to go out. I also want to kind of capture this, this metaphor that kind of came up for me, this stone, this rock. I probably need something to remind me. Perhaps when I go outside tomorrow, I will look for a place where I can gain that, that power that I just felt in this small session. So going out into nature. Yeah.
Let's just lock this in for a minute so that when you do start writing your bio, it's coming from this place where we are right now. So when you're going outside tomorrow, I want you to put your hand on your belly, close your eyes, take a deep breath and feel the impact that you have on people. And I want you to feel that aliveness. And then when you come back inside, you're writing from that place.
I will do that.
How do you feel about your topic now?
I feel more excited. I feel like, yes, let's do this.
That's fantastic. That's great.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sarah.
Let's go back to the podcasting world. Wow, I need to like recollect myself for a second. So what you just experienced was actually a real topic that I currently have. So not a fake topic. So I just want to say that. So I will definitely be reporting back to you how I go with my activity that was born out of this coaching session.
And I will check in with you because as your coach, I want to be holding you accountable.
Exactly. Oh, love it. Let's put the film back a little bit and look at the mentoring. Let's kind of detach like what was going on there. What was happening in the mentoring? What would you say in your own words?
I was giving you instructions for how to actually go about doing it. It's a task. And I was telling you that I did say that you should choose the words yourself. Mm-hmm. But I basically told you to sit down and write those words. Those words would therefore be coming from a place that is almost academic, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's not coming from inside. It's not coming from your soul. It's coming from a place that's right. I'm going to, in fact, some people would hear that and they would go to the thesaurus mm-hmm. and they would just go and look up a whole list of words and then highlight the ones yeah. that are true. Mm-hmm, so I gave you the steps to do. I think that the bio at the end of it would be decent. I'm not sure it would be very authentic or resonant.
Yeah, next time we'll try something like that. But yeah, true. I mean, from a client's perspective on that, I just felt like, okay, let's go execute. So before going to the coaching too much right now, it felt very superficial. It felt like, okay, now I understand what I need to do. You know, someone more experienced is telling me what I should be doing. Perhaps we did exaggerate a lot on that example.
Yes, definitely.
So we can admit that. But just in the sake of this exercise, we wanted to do that.
I was playing a role of someone who was telling you what to do. I also felt superficial. I didn't feel like I was being authentic either because I was sort of in the shoes of having to help you with a task, right? And it felt strange for me. You know. The reason that mentoring can be great. And I have worked as a mentor in schools, but it takes a long time and you still have to ask questions and you have to make sure that what's happening is authentic. But the difference between mentoring and coaching is mentoring is really about giving advice. When you give advice, it lands at your prefrontal cortex in your brain and you will use that advice immediately. But then it disappears. It doesn't make any long-lasting changes. I kind of think of your forehead as Teflon. It won't stick. But coaching takes you to the middle part of the brain, which I think is like a sponge. And it goes deep because it comes from you and then it sticks. And that's the difference between giving advice and coaching. Teflon versus sponge. So tell me how you felt about the second one.
It felt like, damn, maybe I've got this. You know, it gave me hopefulness almost like, oh, okay, yeah. So this is why I'm coaching. This is why I love coaching. This is why I do it. And it kind of reminded me of the real reason why I want to write the bio. And what I found very beautiful, but also hard, and I'm sure this is not the hardest for me because I do exercise like this, but for someone who were listening and witnessing this body connection and going into your body, and we call this embodiment, this felt like this really works for me. I think that really, you know, turns off that rational brain and really lets me immerse myself into my bodily experience, which I found beautiful. So thank you, Samantha, for that. And I think, yeah, that was beautiful. And I feel very empowered and alive. And I'm like, ready, let's make this bio happen.
But the answers also came from you. You know, you talked about aliveness, and you talked about authenticity, and you talked about your values. So when you go and write a bio from that place, it's going to be your voice, your impact.
So what did you do to enable that? Let's break that down.
I didn't tell you to do anything, which is why I exaggerated the first one, because I really wanted to show the difference. I asked questions that were about your impact. I tried to access who you are rather than what you do. There's a difference between doing and being. And I was interested in who you are being when you're coaching. I didn't ask you who your ideal clients are. I didn't ask you what you want to say. I went straight to the place, the core of who you are. And by accessing that power, you will therefore write from that place. So I think it came, I mean, I'm trying to think now. It came from questions, and it came from asking you about your values. And it also went from the body, because the body has so much wisdom. And one of the reasons embodiment is important is because when you do want to go back and recapture that feeling, you can go into your body, because then it will stay there. I also wanted to ask you about the color or something. I didn't know what was going to happen then. And sometimes it doesn't resonate, but that color will also help remind you of the feeling, rather than it, you know, it's a way of going deep and locking these answers or this clarity.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. So yeah, exactly. So, questions, accessing who is the client being, embodiment. There's two things I also want to say that you were doing, or as coaches, is an important tool: acknowledging and mirroring. These are the two things you acknowledged me for seeing the power that you were really looking into my eyes and really saying it. So you acknowledge something you were seeing. And I think that is just one of the most underestimated tools as a coach and as a human being, as a friend, as a mother, as a father, as a daughter. You know, I think it's such a beautiful gift to give to someone, don't you think?
I do. And did you notice how the whole atmosphere got very slow and very quiet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in that space, real connection can happen. And these coaching tools are not only for coaches. Teachers can use these coaching tools by listening and mirroring back. I think I'm hearing you say this. Is that true? And then building questions upon what you hear, not what you want to say. And parents can do this. Girlfriends, boyfriends, best friends, husbands, wives. Imagine if people had conversations where they said, tell me what's important to you. How does it feel when you tell me that? Rather than, this is what I think you should do.
Wow. I want to pause it right here, because I think this is probably the most life-changing thought and a way to be in conversations with people we love, and also obviously as coaches with our clients. But listening versus saying what you want to say and being always their first place, I think this is such an important reminder. How is it possible to really listen to someone? What does it require from you?
Do you remember one of the first things that we learned in coach training was the three levels of listening? Mm-hmm. The first level is, while you're talking, I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next. So you're not really hearing. You know, you're telling someone about a movie you saw, and they don't even hear the name of the movie. You're like, oh, well, I went yesterday and I saw this great film too. And suddenly it becomes all about them. That's first level listening. Second level listening is really listening to the words and asking questions like, wow, tell me more. Gosh, that's interesting. How did that feel? The third level listening is listening with your body as well. And that means you're listening to the pauses, the spaces, what's not said. You're noticing expressions. You're noticing emotion. And you can actually feel a tingle in your body. There's a connection. You can be like, oh, I can actually feel in my stomach how excited they are. And that's deep listening. And it's something that is a practice. It's not something that we do very often. We're not taught it in schools. Very few people use this. But what's the impact, do you think, if you're really listened to?
It makes me want to say what I want to say without a filter. Like, almost I want to say that, like, I don't feel judged.
Do you feel safe?
Yeah, right. I feel like whatever I'm going to say, it's going to be received in a very non-judgmental way, weirdly. Like, I think that's really the impact that a deep listening has on me as a client and as a friend.
Yeah, I agree. And you really feel seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you also start noticing it when it doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other thing that I'm thinking now, when you said, like, when things slow down, even now, I feel like we're quite slow. It's just that slowness in a world which is rushing and being busy all the time. I think this slowness will really help us listen more.
You know, with my own children, I don't really give them advice unless they ask specifically for it. I ask them questions. Sometimes I'll say, what do you need from me right now? Brené Brown had a beautiful question to show empathy, and that is, what does love look like right now? How can I be here for you? Or I'll say, what does that feel like? Or just sit and listen and not have to feel, you know, oh yes, well, at least, you know, you know, it's going to pass, or at least it's going to get better, or at least you're going on holiday. You know, listening is just being present for whatever comes up. It's interesting that you actually said that. It's about knowing that you're safe.
Definitely. If there's someone who is fascinated to try coaching, someone who is like, oh, I would need that space, I would need that that type of process to help me out, where can they start? Like, where can someone even look for a coach?
Yeah, it's a good question. First of all, everyone should know that all coaches offer a free session. No commitment. And you should actually, you know, you can go onto the ICF website, or you know, Singapore has an ICF chapter. You're much better off speaking to an ICF trained coach, because coaching, unfortunately, is not regulated like therapy is. But ICF is the only regulation body of its kind. And then you should speak to lots of coaches, because you have to have chemistry. You know, there's no commitment. Have three sessions with three different coaches and see which one you like. And the coach won't be offended if you say no. You know, it's really important. Don't you think that's a good idea to go to the ICF probably first? And
definitely. Yeah. I'm all about also going to accredited coaches, because we are working with human minds and we are working with humans. So we need to have training. And ICF definitely is one of the only institutions at the moment that we can find coaches that are trained in a proper way. And literally, I mean, for me, how it happened, I just literally, I was in New York at the time, and I said, a New York life coaching, I Googled and I called like the first person. So you can obviously try that one. Just, put coaching on Google and see what comes up, and spend some time and take the time and be patient in finding a coach. Because like Samantha said, I think it is super important to know that you can have sample session. Most coaches should offer a free sample session, so you feel the chemistry, because the chemistry is everything. You will know when you have found your coach. You will know, because you will feel the connection, I think, on that.
And coaching, you know, some people feel complete after three sessions. On average, coaching is about 10 sessions long. And it is an investment of time and money. And when you find the right coach, you will, yeah, you're right. You'll know it. And if it turns out halfway through coaching that you don't enjoy it or it's not working anymore, you can say that as well. You can redesign your relationship with the coach. But also ask your friends, because the best thing is a recommendation. Does anyone know a coach? Has anyone know anyone who's ever been coached? It's actually life-changing.
It is.
So, you know, and I just think if everyone was coached, it would be fantastic. And I believe this with all my heart and soul, that we would live in a bit better world if people let go of their defense mechanisms. You don't need to prove something to people all the time. If you believe that you are just fine the way you are, if you accept yourself, your relationships will just be so much easier. And your impact that you'll have in the workplace and your family will be easier.
Don't we know that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's so empowering. Let's do it this way. Let's end this conversation with having some skills for people. Like, you know, you've got a sample of coaching, which was really exciting to do. And now someone maybe can benefit from coaching skills, even at home. You know, we talk about coaching in a professional setting, but literally anybody can benefit from coaching skills. So how about we give three? I feel like we gave already one about deep listening. So what about two more?
I think another one will be the kind of questions you ask. Try not to ask yes and no questions. You know, ask questions like, tell me more. Just say, isn't that the most amazing thing? Tell me more. How did that feel? Another really important question is, what do you want? If you did that, what would it look like? If I had a magic wand and I could wave it, what would you love to happen? If you had no fear, what would you do? Make up your own questions, but ask questions that are going to let the other person, get you to know the person really well, but also get them to know themselves very well. So ask open questions. I think that's a really important number two tip.
Don't ask or avoid asking yes or no questions. Of course, we have to ask them sometimes, but ask instead, tell me more. And there were some beautiful questions that Samantha, shared with us. So you can ask them.
I think the other thing is you can't always have your coach hat on. You know, sometimes you do have to, there's a time and a place. So for example, a coaching conversation that you could have with your parent, you know, or with a friend, that might be a longer conversation. You know, if your child really doesn't want to leave the house in the morning to go to school, I'm not really sure that's the best time for a coaching conversation. You know what I mean? Like maybe that's the time to just say, we're going now and we can go happy or we can go sad, but we're going.
So, yes or no. Yes or no. We're going.
Yeah. So I think the third piece of advice I would probably give is, carve out some time for these conversations. You know, go outside, go out for coffee, put your devices down and be conscious about these conversations. You know, don't just sort of pass like ships in the night. You know, just say, you know, let's not watch television tonight. Let's sit down, make a cup of tea, have a glass of wine and talk.
Oh, you just said some of my favorite things, which I always say when I'm also teaching positive psychology, is we can talk about well-being as much as we want, but unless we're intentional, we will never become the active participant of our own well-being. And it's the same thing with what you just said. Be intentional about carving out quality time for conversations.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Sam, I think it's time to go away from this slowness to some rapid fire round. Are you ready for it?
I hope I'm ready.
Let's do it.
I'm kind of interested to see what I discover about myself because I have no idea what you're going to ask. And I know that I have to kind of say the first thing that comes to my mind. And there is, you know, the saboteur, my inner critic often says, oh my God, don't say anything stupid. I am just open. Whatever it is, it is. Bring it on.
Love it. Let's do it. Number one, fill in the blank. Right now, I am inspired by...
I am inspired by my children, actually, because they are living really good lives. You know, they're not wasting their time. They're stepping into every day, trying to fill it with connections and opportunities. And, you know, bad weather is not holding them back. And I mean that metaphorically as well as literally. And I'm inspired by their hunger and thirst and joie de vivre. I love it.
Greetings to Claire and Esme. Number two, authenticity means
showing up as yourself, warts and all. You know, like just be who you are and just trust that it's going to be okay.
Number three, the one thing you do to boost your mental well-being after a long day at work.
I feel like I should say go for a walk, and sometimes it is. But sometimes it's really just watching really good TV and just disappearing into another world, another story, great characters. I love reading and I love movies and I love good TV. So I love to escape. Sometimes I'll go for a walk too.
I have to say, I think Samantha, fun fact about Sam, she has like almost every week a new recommendation for me, either for books or movies or TV series. So I'm covered for
me,
a year.
It's about other people creating things that entertain me. And I love it.
I love it. No, I need it. It's beautiful. Okay. Number four, the one and only coaching tool you wish everyone in this world knew about.
Listening so that people feel heard, because people are lonely. People are lonely even when they're with people. And loneliness is the saddest thing to experience. And deep listening will take away loneliness.
Beautiful. The one song that gets you every time.
Goodbye Yellow Brick Road by Elton John. It's bittersweet, and I love bittersweet music. Because it just touches me. And I first listened to that song when I was six. And I still love it.
That's amazing. I'm going to add it on my playlist. Okay. Number six. Last time you laughed at something really hard.
Really hard. Well, I think it was... I'm teaching a book at the moment to my IB class, and it's dark, and it's about the Vietnam War, but there's some really dark humor in it. And I laughed out loud, and my students looked at me like, are we allowed to laugh at that? And I think dark humor has its place.
What are you grateful for in your life right now?
The people, my beautiful friends, my wonderful husband, my gorgeous children, my family who's too far away, people. And I work with lovely people. I'm grateful for the people, really, really grateful for the people and everything that they give me.
If you could choose anyone in the history or in the present, with whom would you want to have a deep and juicy conversation with?
I love this question. I wish it could be a whole dinner party. What's coming to mind actually is Maya Angelou, because she lived a rich and crazy and difficult life, but she always approached it with creativity and courage. She was the most beautiful writer and poet. She was also a dancer. I would love to just listen to her wisdom. And it's interesting. I didn't know I was going to say that, but that came to me. I love Maya Angelou.
And final one. Who are you beyond your label, Sam?
That's such a good question. I am a lover of life, of art, of beauty, of people. That's what I am.
Thank you for making me witness your love and the love you spread to the world. It's such an honor and privilege to be your friend. And thank you for bringing your wisdom and your knowledge and your experience into Studio Within podcast.
It's been an honor, and it's an honor to be your friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me today in Studio Within. Head over to witsara.com/podcast for all the show notes from today's episode. You can also find more information about me and what I do on witsara.com. It means the world to me that you've taken your precious time today and listened to this episode of Studio Within. So, how about we make most out of this? My question to you is, how can you turn an insight you had from today's episode into an action that you can put right into practice in your life today?